Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Coming up at 3:30, we will be joined by Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports to give you the latest on Jalen Ramsey. Reports are surfacing that Jacksonville is asking for two first-round draft picks to acquire the all-pro corner. We'll talk to Therese about that coming up in just a bit. But before we do that, let's go inside the mind of the machine.
You're a week off, C-Dot, on the Cleveland Browns. They put the beat down last night on the hapless Jets. Do the Cleveland Browns end up making the playoffs this season?
I still think they are going to make the playoffs. I have more concerns about Cleveland now that we've seen them play the 2 weeks. I don't think Baker's been as good as I thought he was going to be. I think their offensive line is an issue. We'll learn everything we need to know about the Cleveland Browns over the next 4 weeks. Next week, they play the Rams on Sunday Night Football. They play the Ravens coming up. They also play Seattle and the Patriots.
Damn.
Like, their schedule is brutal over the next month. We'll learn everything we need to know about the Browns here in 4 weeks.
There's going to be some not good teams that make the playoffs in the AFC. Like, that's what we've learned over the first 2 weeks of the season. If you want to have, like, a grand takeaway, somebody that's not particularly good is going to make the playoffs in the AFC because there's just not enough good playoffs or good teams in the AFC to be able to fill out the playoffs. The Chiefs, I am confident, are good. I'm confident the Patriots are good. I'm pretty confident that the Ravens are good. What level of good I think we could quibble with, but I'm pretty confident that they're good. And I actually do think the Texans are a good football team. After that, I don't know, man. I don't know if the Browns are good. I don't know if the Bills are actually any good. I don't think the Chargers are as good as I expected them to be this year, especially coming off of the way that they looked this weekend. Like, I think there might just be four good teams in the AFC, and there's going to be two that aren't very good that make the playoffs.
Cleveland's schedule for the next 5 weeks: home against the Rams, at Baltimore, at San Francisco on Monday Night Football, home against Seattle, bye week at New England.
Ugh.
Very murderous row when it comes to the Browns schedule.
They need to change the format, BK. We did that one time for my fantasy football league. There just were only two good teams that year. So instead of having four playoff teams, we just had two. Sorry, you don't make it. The Giants have named Daniel Jones. The New York Football Giants have named Daniel Jones their starting quarterback over Eli Manning. We all saw that coming at some point. I want to know who had the better career, assuming that he's pretty much done. Eli Manning or Philip Rivers?
I mean, if we're talking about career, I think it's pretty clearly Eli Manning. Eli Manning won two Super Bowls. If we're saying who the better player was, I also think that is pretty clear. Philip Rivers is a better quarterback than Eli Manning.
Eli Manning should not be a Hall of Famer. In my mind, he is not a Hall of Famer. He will get into the Hall of Fame, though, because of the two rings. It's absurd. I don't know why we do this to ourselves. Eli Manning was the beneficiary of two unbelievably great defensive runs and him getting hot in like two games. Eli Manning isn't all that different than Nick Foles is. And nobody's going to argue, even if Nick Foles were to go on another miraculous run, that he should be a Hall of Famer. So Eli Manning, in my mind, the reason why we look at him the way we do is because of his last name and because he had two really good runs. Otherwise, he's Joe Flacco in New York. That's it.
Speaking of last name, though, he did beat a guy named Brady in both of those Super Bowls. So that
no, his team
hurt.
Did. He didn't. His team
Touché.
Beat the Patriots.
His career record, one game over 500. Eli Manning. He has one game.
He's actually now at 500.
Oh, he's at 500 now.
Mm-hmm. He is at 500, 161 and 161.
I don't know if you guys are still watching Royals baseball, but we got them all season long right here on 610. Now, Jorge Soler hit his 45th home run last night, tying him with Mike Trout for the AL lead. Of course, Mike Trout is out for the rest of the season. And second in the American League is Nelson Cruz with 37. So it looks like Jorge Soler, for the first time in Royals history, is going to win the American League home run title. C-Dot, does that get you going?
What's baseball?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
You guys watch that?
Legit, Jorge Soler, he said, could win two of the three Triple Crown categories this year. He's going to lead in home runs. Right now, he's second in RBIs. He's got a long way to go when it comes to batting average. But
and he's pretty far behind in RBI, too. He's 10 behind Jose Abreu.
Who had that? We talked about all these guys, part of the nucleus heading into the season. By the way, C-Dot, the home run leader in the National League, Eugenio Suarez. You know who he plays for?
What's baseball? What's the National League? I know what the NFC is.
I know what the Eastern Conference is.
I don't know what the NL is. I have absolutely no clue what that is.
For what it's worth, the magic number for Jorge Soler is actually 151. That's the number of games he's played in, and that's what we all talked about before the year. If he could stay healthy, we knew he had this in him. It was a matter of him actually being able to stay healthy.
151, Malibu rum and pineapple juice. You know what I'm sizzling? Both the Saints and the Seahawks, excuse me, both the Saints and the Steelers lost their quarterbacks after week one. I just asked you about the better career, Eli or Phillip Rivers. Who's had the better career? See that Ben Roethlisberger or Drew Brees?
I'm going to go with Ben Roethlisberger. More Super Bowl rings, play with one organization for the entire time. I think he's been relevant more than Drew Brees. We tend to forget, like, the Saints went through, like, that seven-year lull where the Steelers have been relevant every year that Ben Roethlisberger has been the quarterback. I think the answer is Roethlisberger.
I think the answer is Drew Brees. I don't think you can tell the story of the 21st century of the NFL without discussing Drew Brees, and I think you can do so more easily without discussing Big Ben. Big Ben has the rings, but Drew Brees has been a transcendent player that you can argue has been the most productive quarterback in the 21st century, outside of Peyton Manning. He's been incredible, and he has more 5,000-yard seasons than any quarterback ever.
Last one, then we'll break, and then Therese Paylor. Guys, yesterday my niece had her spelling bee at her elementary school. She got knocked out on the word raspberry. What the hell's a P doing in the word raspberry? But I move on. Is there any word, BK, C-Dot, in the English language that you just can't spell? I can't spell the word business or restaurant to save my life.
Convenience.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Restaurant's a good one. I lost out on my high school, or I guess elementary school spelling bee on captain. Put the I before the A.
Mm. At least you didn't go with the K.
Yeah.
And you are now outside the mind of the machine.
I never, ever spell convenience correctly. And I don't know how to spell convenience.
I couldn't do it right
until this day. Like, I have absolutely no idea how to spell convenience. Like, no idea how to spell the word. Coming up in just a little bit, keep it locked in. We will catch up with Yahoo Sports NFL insider Therese Paylor to get the latest on Jalen Ramsey. It is reported that Jacksonville wants 2 first-round draft picks for the star corner. We'll talk to Therese about it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Oh, I've been waiting for this interview all day. Let's skip all the pleasantries. He knows how I feel about him. He's one of the top 5 football voices in all of the world. We head to the phone line right now to catch up with Yahoo Sports senior NFL writer. He is also the host of the Yahoo Sports podcast, which is a must-listen wherever you get podcasts from. Therese Paylor joins us on The Drive. Therese, very busy day, huh?
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. Including some really good examples of why I'm pretty clear about when I'm reporting something and when I'm not on Twitter. So what's the dismay of... You know, some guys, like, I got to be clear when I'm reporting stuff because stuff gets aggregated and taken out of context. You know what? A lot of times, though, by being clear, it helps people kind of understand where people are at. And I think that's kind of where the Chiefs are at.
No, that's fair. All right, Therese, in this, I'm going to ask you some reporting stuff and some of your opinion stuff. So work with me here. Let's start with this. What are you reporting? What is the latest regarding the Chiefs' interest in Jalen Ramsey?
I reported 7 hours ago that I think the Chiefs are going to continue to monitor the quarterback situation. I don't expect a hard push for Ramsey. At this point, the Chiefs have a lot of cap space, but they also have to pay Mahomes, and I think they want to try to get something done with Chris Jones. I think that Ramsey, the player who, based on talent alone and value at his age, is worth 2 first-round picks as well. We'll see if that's what he ends up getting. If he doesn't get that, it's because teams have concern about his fit in the locker room. It's my understanding that despite the way this thing is twisted and turned for the last 7 hours, I'm not changing any of that. Like, I think that's all locked in. I think that's where we're at right now.
Okay, Therese, so help me with this. This team needs a corner. Everybody that watches them would come to the conclusion that that's the biggest hole on their team. Arguably the best corner in the NFL is available, and the Chiefs are hesitant on acquiring that player. Why is that, in your opinion?
My opinion would be, and I actually said this on my show on your station a couple nights ago, like my opinion is if the Chiefs were not interested in acquiring Jalen Ramsey, who's somebody who on the field, I believe, has the ability to give this team a 94 Dion boost, right? It would be for reasons other than football, you know, concern about fitting the locker room, that type of deal. So if this is something that didn't come to pass, you know, I would assume that has something to do with it, just because, you know, as a football player, he's special, he's terrific, he's great, all that stuff, and he's still really young, and he fits actually with the timeline of your other, like, young guys, your other, like, star guys. So you've got that part of it. You know, Jalen wants to get paid, you know. We know that. He reported the training camp in a Briggs truck. You know, you have to make some choices as far as who you're going to pay. I think we know Mahomes is the absolute zenith of priority. You know, I think that's something else that you have to consider, too. Like, would he be willing to come here without a new deal? You know, maybe that's something you'd have to think about then if you're the Chiefs. But, you know, he's Jalen Ramsey. Like, if he wants to get traded and get a new deal upon the trade, he can do that. So I think that's kind of where we're at right now, and that's my opinion on it.
Therese, so if you had to rank maybe why the Chiefs are concerned and hesitant on acquiring Ramsey, between contract/compensation, so not just the two first-round draft picks, but also making him the highest-paid cornerback in the NFL, his personality and maybe fit in the locker room, or his style of play where he wants to primarily play zone, and this team might – or he wants to play man, but this team might want to play zone. How exactly would you rank maybe their hesitation out of those three things?
I'm actually not sure. I think, you know, I think it's a very good chance it's a mix of all those things. How much one is over the other, you know, I don't know. But, you know, he did do a press conference today, and it was an interesting press conference. You know, Jalen's a really talented, special guy, and the football fit is obvious. So if a team doesn't, like, kind of jump into that head first, what else is there left than, like, concerns about the other stuff? So,
Therese, is it an either or when it comes to Jalen Ramsey or Chris Jones? Is that what we're talking about, at least at this point?
I don't know. I don't know that. I think they'd like to get something done with Chris Jones. I think Chris Jones would want to be here, but it's about coming down. You know, guys, it's about coming up with the deal that fits best for both sides. And Chris Jones has to sing for his supper. You know what happens. You know, most of those guys play well in contract years. So, you know, if Chris Jones has another huge year, and I will tell you something, Chris Jones was amazing on Sunday.
Yeah.
As a run defender, as a pass defender, he was so disruptive. If he puts that together for 16 games, he's going to have another huge statistical season. And at that point, he could demand to get something paid, something just shy of Aaron Donald. Like, you can't. That's the thing, man. When you don't pay guys early, you know, they normally play really well. So I wouldn't say it's an either or. You know, I'm not necessarily sure that's the case, but I think that if you're the Chiefs, you do have to be conscious of how much money you have and how much you'll have going forward, and making sure that you leave yourself some flexibility. But to that, you know, Sean, I'd also say, you know, he's such a special player. He's such a special player. You just kind of have to think about what factors from a common sense perspective would have to be in play to keep you from pursuing a guy like that big time, in a big time manner. Because he is a really special player.
That's just it, Therese. How dangerous is playing the waiting game for the Kansas City Chiefs? Because it's something we've talked about the entire time. They didn't make the move in the offseason. They didn't make the move through free agency. They didn't make the move in the draft. It looks like they're kind of waiting to see what happens in season. And after 1 week, Minkah Fitzpatrick became available. After 2 weeks, Jalen Ramsey became available. I don't think, in fact, I know there's not going to be a better cornerback that comes available better than Jalen Ramsey. But how dangerous is the waiting game that the Chiefs seem to be playing?
Not really dangerous. I mean, you know what would be a dangerous waiting game? Doing that with Patrick Mahomes. You don't mess around with quarterbacks. From the Chiefs' perspective, like, you know, Chris Jones had one, like, really sweet, like, awesome year, right? And my guess is that you want to just see it again. And if he does it again, you know he's special and you're willing to pay, you know? But in general, Sean, you know, playing the waiting game is risky. You know, it is in this league because the better players play, the more leverage they end up having, and they can start, you know, holding out, wanting to get traded, that type of deal, and the more money they end up costing. So it is a dangerous thing in general. But this is also just business. And they did get one part of that done by getting Tyreek extended, right? So no matter what, like, they're not in a position where they get you know, screwed by Chris Jones, you know. Like, they could always franchise him next offseason and then trade him and at least be able to get something. You know what I mean?
Terrez Paylor, right now we're talking to him from Yahoo Sports. Terrez, I have two more questions about cornerbacks. Let's say that both players are available, Patrick Peterson or Jalen Ramsey. Which player would the Chiefs rather have in your mind?
Well, here's what we know about Peterson. He'd be cheaper because he's an older player. He's close with Tyrann Mathieu, which I think matters. And he's just at the tail end of his prime. So he's never won a Super Bowl. So you can reasonably think that, you know, by the time he comes, by coming here, he'd be completely bought into the team concept and, like, ready to, you know, do what it takes to win. You know, both those guys, I don't know if you're the Chiefs or you're in a position to be super picky because you got a Super Bowl team, but a lot of people don't necessarily think you have Super Bowl corners. But I think because Patrick Peterson's a little bit older and theoretically should be a little bit more mature and really, really caring about winning at this point, there's probably less risk with bringing him in if, you know, you have some concerns about how Jalen will fit into this team.
Terrez, yesterday you were talking about Minkah Fitzpatrick, and obviously he went to the Steelers, but you said the Chiefs were involved and made calls to try to acquire Minkah Fitzpatrick. What can you tell us about this team's interest in trying to trade for Minkah Fitzpatrick?
Yeah, they were interested in him, and they were aggressive about it. That was the guy they were interested in, and they just got outbid, basically, guys. Okay, and I get it. He's a guy that, if you're the Chiefs, you got to be interested in him. He's 22 years old. He's right in with your young guys, man. He's right on the – he hasn't even tapped into how good he's going to be yet. And where the Chiefs are going to draft in the first round this year, they weren't going to get a player as good as Minkah Fitzpatrick, who's already got a year and a half of experience. That much I can tell you. But the flip side of that is that because the Chiefs were drafting so late in the round, made it easy for them to get outbid. Pittsburgh made a really bold move, guys. They're 0-2 with a quarterback that hasn't proven it yet. You know, they're like a couple losses away from, like, you know, the season from hell type stuff where we saw with the Spurs in 97, you saw it with the Colts in 11, like a key player gets hurt and all of a sudden you find yourself, a contender finds itself in the mix for the number one pick. Minkah Fitzpatrick is a good player. He'll help them win. He'll give them a better chance to win every week. But, you know, if Rudolph struggles, that's a team that could finish in the top eight, you know what I mean, which is in position to get Ben's replacement one day. So that's a huge gamble is what I'm trying to say. And if you're the Miami Dolphins, if the Chiefs and Steelers are offering you first-round picks, one of those things is not like the other. It's not even close. So you got to do that one. You got to – I was like, oh, you guys actually might give us a top 10 pick. We got it. Great. Let's go. Like, they had to do that. But the Chiefs were in on them. And that made it easy for them to not get out big because it's a mortal lock that Chiefs are finishing with a pick from 28 to 32.
Terrez, last question here. I understand that right now Jalen Ramsey's value is sky high. Two first-round picks, plus you have to give him a new contract. Let's say that things change because they typically do, and let's say that the price drops. Let's say it's a 1 and a 3 or a 1 and a 4. Would that change this organization's stance on trading for Jalen Ramsey?
I don't know. I think he's a special player, and I think that it's easy to talk. You could talk yourself into some stuff if, you know, the price wasn't so high. You know, if, you know, he were willing to come here without the extension, or you know, maybe the price on the picks fell. You know, I will say this: I do believe in the talent, obviously, and if he came here without the extension and, like, had to play for his money. And this is just Terrez talking. I do think there's, like, a chance that guy would fit in well here and, like, you know, be a good soldier and, you know, because he hasn't gotten paid yet, you know. Now, he's probably a guy that you wonder what happens when he does get paid. But if he came here without the extension part of it, you do kind of wonder, like, hey, you know, he had every motivation in the world to just fit in, ball out, and then sign the highest, and then become the highest paid corner in NFL history. You know what I mean? But I don't know exactly how he's wired. I think, you know, she's have to do their research on that. And, you know, I think it's going to be interesting to see. You know, see that you asking me some good questions. At the bottom line, man, we'll know how concerned teams are about Jalen's person by the compensation the Dolphins get. I'm sorry, by the compensation the Jaguars get, okay? If it's just like a first and like a third, it's because teams are worried about X, Y, and Z. He is worth two firsts and probably a third because he is an unbelievable corner in his prime. By the flip side, if he didn't have some of these concerns, there's no way they'd make him available. This is not a guy you should be trading. So it's an interesting situation, man. I can't wait to see what happens.
That is Yahoo Sports senior NFL writer Therese Paylor. Be sure to download his podcast with Charles Robinson. I listen every week. It is the Yahoo Sports podcast. He is one of the best reporters in all of the world. Thanks, Therese.
Hey, thanks, T-Dot. I appreciate it, man.
That is my guy, Therese Paylor. I got the sense that the Chiefs don't maybe want Jalen Ramsey the way that people want them to want Jalen Ramsey. I'll explain it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
I think there's probably 2 hours worth of content in the 13 minutes we talked to Therese Paylor, to be completely honest. So I want to play this last answer in case you missed it. I understand if you just came from the commercial break. First off, shame on you. You can also check it on the podcast page. So Jacksonville's asking for two first-round picks for Jalen Ramsey. The last question we asked him was, what if the price comes down for Jalen Ramsey? Do you think the Chiefs will be interested? Listen to Therese's answer on this.
You could talk yourself into some stuff if, you know, the price wasn't so high. You know, if, you know, he were willing to come here without the extension or, you know, maybe the price on the picks fell, you know. I will say this. I do believe in the talent, obviously. If he came here without the extension and, like, had to play for his money, and this is just Therese talking, I do think there's, like, a chance that that guy would fit in well here and, like, you know, be a good soldier and, you know, because he hasn't gotten paid yet, you know. Now, he's probably a guy that you wonder what happens when he does get paid, but if he came here without the extension part of it, you do kind of wonder, like, hey, you know, he had every motivation in the world to just fit in, ball out, and then sign the highest, and then become the highest paid corner in NFL history.
Maybe this analogy makes absolutely no sense, but follow me here. I really want an Apple Watch. I don't know why I want an Apple Watch. I just want one. But every time it's in the price range that I'm willing to spend for an Apple Watch, I always find reasons to not buy it. Like, man, do I really want to wear it? Do I really want to spend that much on a watch? Like, I talk myself out of buying the Apple Watch every time I see it. That's kind of what I think the Chiefs are doing with Jalen Ramsey. It comes down to a very simple, I don't want one as bad as I say that I want one. I don't think that they want Jalen Ramsey very badly. I think if this was Patrick Peterson, I don't think they would have to do all these gymnastics of trying to, well, if he comes in here and he can fit in the locker room culture and his contract and all this kind of stuff. I think if Patrick Peterson was truly available, and Arizona called the Chiefs and said, let's talk about Jalen Ramsey, I think that would excite everybody in that front office, and I think they would find a way to make it work. And maybe at the end, they come out and say, we overspent for Patrick Peterson, but they acquired a player that they absolutely want. They don't want Jalen Ramsey like that. We just talked to Therese Paylor for 13 minutes. Sean, did you get the vibe from Therese, who we agree is plugged in with the Chiefs, that they desperately want Jalen Ramsey? That's not what I got. BK, you're the same thing that I heard. Did you hear from Therese, and maybe Therese is playing a little bit coy, you know how Therese is. I didn't get the sense in the 13 minutes we talked to him that the Chiefs really want Jalen Ramsey.
Can I give the hypothesis as to what I think's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
I think the Chiefs don't want to get into another potential Marcus Peters situation. I think it's that simple. I think for whatever reason, the Chiefs didn't want Marcus Peters around anymore. And I don't know what happened inside of that locker room. I don't know what happened with that coaching staff. I don't know if it was a Bob Sutton versus Marcus Peters thing or if Andy Reid ultimately came to the conclusion where he was like, I don't want this dude in my locker room anymore. Brett Veach, figure it out. Get him out of here. I don't know. I, to this day, don't think anybody knows truly what happened with that situation with Marcus Peters here in Kansas City. And I think right now, based on what we just heard from Therese Paylor, the Chiefs are saying, we're not doing that again. We're not signing up for that kind of a player in our locker room again. I remember one thing Therese said at the time that really stuck with me was the Chiefs wanted to hand this locker room over to Patrick Mahomes. I think that's happened now. I think this is truly Patrick Mahomes' team. I don't think there's any question as to whether or not it's going to be Patrick Mahomes' team moving forward, but I think some in the locker room, maybe some of the coaches, questioned if he would be able to have the biggest voice of the room when Marcus Peters saw a power vacuum and he could have suctioned some of or taken some of those players over into his side, his corner. I wonder if they fear that that could happen again with Jalen Ramsey. And I wonder if the coaches and the front office is saying to themselves, we are not signing up for that, even if it could mean potentially having a better chance of winning a Super Bowl, because we think that it mortgages some of our future for right now. I wonder if that's what's going on here.
Because let's look at the reporting that we've seen so far from people that I think are plugged in with the Chiefs. Nate Taylor with The Athletic, I think, is incredibly plugged in with the Chiefs. Jeff Chedia from NFL Network, who you guys got to see the hierarchy of how it comes to information that comes out of Arrowhead. They treat Jeff Chedia differently than they treat me when I go in there. When I go in there, we got to fight and claw for information. Jeff Chedia walks in with that NFL Network badge on, and I'm telling you, the players just talk to Jeff Chedia more than they talk to me. Therese Paylor from Yahoo Sports, we already know how plugged he is in with the Chiefs. None of them have given me an indication that the Chiefs really want Jalen Ramsey. From Therese Paylor on Twitter, you just heard him on the show. However, I would not expect a hard push from Jalen Ramsey. Jeff Chedia, who directly quoted a Chiefs source, unless something changes drastically, like he doesn't want a new deal, you'll be the first to know, but nothing there, and said the Chiefs don't have any interest. And Nate Taylor, I've also heard similar statements from folks within the Chiefs organization. I haven't heard one report from someone who I think is plugged in with the Kansas City Chiefs that would lead me to believe that they really desperately want Jalen Ramsey. I think they want Patrick Peterson. I don't think they feel the same way about Jalen Ramsey.
Which is crazy because it's obvious to me and you and BK and seems like most of the people listening, all Chiefs fans, the Chiefs players themselves are tweeting directly to Jalen Ramsey. So it's so obvious. It's more obvious than the Johnny Cueto move, and the Royals actually went out there and did that. I want to address something BK was talking about a couple of minutes ago with Marcus Peters. Here's the difference that I think, BK, and I agree with you, because we talk about, we kind of compare all these guys off the field issues together. Marcus Peters and Jalen Ramsey are pretty similar, if you think about it. Like, maybe they're too passionate about the game. Remember Marcus Peters crying in the playoff game, Jalen Ramsey talking smack to Tyreek Hill. Neither one of those guys, since they've been in the NFL, have had the off-field stuff. So we talk about them being bad guys. Not really. All these guys kind of get pigeonholed into the same thing. The difference was when the Chiefs had Marcus Peters, they were a good team. They were a real good team. They were winning divisions, 10, 11 games. They had Andy Reid, but they had a cap because their quarterback at the time was Alex Smith. Once they got Patrick Mahomes and that ceiling came off, and now we can start to have an actual Super Bowl conversation, at that time, you have to make moves that aren't so obvious, that aren't so easy. So a few years ago when the Chiefs said bye-bye to Marcus Peters, they weren't on the cusp of winning a Super Bowl. Now they're on the doorstep. So when you talk about a guy like Jalen Ramsey being available, it's very similar to what it was when it comes to the player a few years ago, but the position the team is in couldn't be any different.
Let's get into this more on the other side, because if that's the philosophy that the Chiefs have when it comes to players like Jalen Ramsey, that's a losing philosophy. And I think this is a winning organization, and they do ballsy, confident kind of moves. Being afraid of Jalen Ramsey because of his perceived attitude and staying away from a player of his caliber is a foolish thing to do.
Especially in this locker room. I mean, this is the perfect locker room to bring Jalen Ramsey into. If you're ever going to bring a troubled guy in with Andy Reid and the leadership that they have, this is the time and the guy to do it with.
Let's get into it more coming up on the other side. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.